So let's open our Bibles, if you would, for a few moments, please, to Matthew chapter 20. And we're going to look down in verse 26. And we mentioned the other night that we would call the name of the greatest Christian in our church tonight. And I know so many people showed up. They were excited to have it announced on the internet and worldwide that it was them. And in many cases, it really is you. Because the greatest in the Bible is called the servant. The servant. So that's what we're going to speak on tonight. The greatest member of Hopewell Baptist, the servant. And we have here in Matthew chapter 20, just as our basis, Matthew 20, verse number 26. Is the volume okay? Because I don't have much voice. Is it okay? All right, good. Matthew 20 and verse number 26. And Jesus is, speaking to his disciples just the last few days, last few hours. And he says in verse number 25, "But Jesus called them unto him and said, you know that the princes of the Gentiles exercise dominion over them, and they that are great exercise authority upon them, but it shall not be so among you. But whosoever will be great among you, let him be your minister. And whosoever will or decides to be chief among you, let him be your servant. Even as the Son of Man came not to be ministered unto, but to minister, and to give his life a ransom for many." So there it is. Someone would say, every member, a minister. Usually when we say the word minister, we think of a preacher. But really the word minister means a servant. So every Christian is called to be a minister. So next time someone asks you, what do you do for a living? Just say, minister. Oh, I didn't know. Yep, I'm a minister. Because you are. We all are. Let's pray. Father, bless the brief time we have together tonight. Help the thing of being a servant make sense. And help us see how you've exalted it. In Jesus' name, amen. Hope you'll take your little note sheet there. Anyone not have one should be in the bulletin, little sheet right there in the middle, and it'll just help you as you jot down some of these things. So every Christian is saved to serve. And the book of Exodus says the children of Israel left Egypt. The quote says that they may serve me. Let my people go, Moses would say. Then he said, that they may serve me. So we're not just saved to escape hell. We're saved to serve him. Now here's what Jesus said about serving. Number one, if you want to fill it out, serving makes you chief. You say, I'd like to be in charge. Okay, serving makes you the chief. You've always heard, too many chiefs, not enough Indians. Well, every Christian is called to be a chief. Number two, serving is great. Any more bulletins? We have any extra bulletins back there, guys? Okay, let's just make sure we have some. Thanks. And so serving is great. And let's flip over a little to Matthew 23. We're not going to look at all these verses, so don't be discouraged. Matthew 23:11. But he that is greatest among you shall be your servant. We're not going to turn to it, but as Jesus was getting the disciples ready for the Last Supper, he noticed two of the disciples were arguing with each other. Jesus has just told them, I'm going to be crucified. I'm going to the cross. And two of them's arguing, and he said, what are you doing? They said, well, we're trying to figure out who's going to be the greatest out of us. Isn't that amazing? They were what we would call jockeying for position. You know, who's better, him or me? Who's going to be the most famous? And Jesus said, serving is the one that's great. He says, he that is greatest among you shall be your servant. Number three, serving and doing things well gives you joy. There's a reference in Matthew. He says, well done, thou good and faithful servant. Enter thou into the joy of the Lord. Guess what makes us happy? Serving. You'll oftentimes see people at a restaurant griping, upset. The food's cold, coffee's cold, service is slow. You know, they gripe. It's not usually the one serving. Oftentimes, it's the one being served. Happy people are serving people. And so we see, what did Jesus show about serving? a little example here in the book of John 13, and I'm not going to ask you to turn to many places, but this is one, John 13, there in the Gospel of John, and looking down into verse number 4, and we see it here, John 13, and verse number 4. Jason, do me a favor, can you get me one of the baptistry towels, just real quick, you know where they're at. John 13, verse 4, and it says, "And he riseth from supper, and laid aside his garments." Jesus took off his outward robe, much like a house coat. And it says in verse number 4, "And took a towel and girded himself. After that he poureth water into a basin, and began to wash the disciples' feet, and to wipe them with the towel wherewith he was girded." And then verse number 12. So after he had washed their feet, this is 12 disciples, guess what? Including Judas, the man that would betray him and sell him out, including Simon Peter, the one who would lie and deny that he even knew Jesus. That's amazing. If I was going to wash someone's feet, I'd just wash the good ones. When I came to Judas, I'd say, a little closer, and I'd probably bit a couple of toes off or something like that. But notice what he says. He washed his feet. He says, "Know ye what I have done to you?" It was symbolic. Verse 13, "Ye call me master and Lord, and ye say well, for so I am. If I then, your Lord and master, have washed your feet, ye also ought to wash one another's feet. For I have given you an example," notice, not a command. Some churches actually have foot washing as an ordinance. They have baptism, Lord's Supper, foot washing. The ladies gather over here, and once every few months, they'll kick their shoes off. Some ladies will wash each other's feet, and the men. We don't do that. We're afraid there'll be too many people throwing up all over the carpet. And but he's saying it's an example. What's he mean here? Giving you an example. You should do as I have done to you. Verily, verily, I say unto you, the servant is not greater than his Lord, neither he that is sent greater than he that sent him. If ye know these things, notice the result, happy are ye if ye do them. So Jesus said, here's what leadership is and greatness. Can you take a towel and serve? So when you're looking at, wow, that's the greatest, try to picture someone with a towel and a bowl of water. That's what Jesus did. He's saying, if you can do the lowliest task, like washing someone's grimy feet, which was the job of a servant. When company came, it would be the slave of the servant that would sit down and wash the feet of the guests. Jesus said, if you're willing to do the menial tasks, that's greatness. No job is too little for a real servant. So we keep going here. Philippians 2, verse 8. Proud people don't enjoy serving. The Bible says he made himself of no reputation and took upon himself the form of a servant. He humbled himself. That's what those scriptures say. And so proud people, they want to be served. Humble people can serve. So that's what Jesus showed us there. And when he took off that robe, it was a symbol of what he did when he came to the earth. He took off his robe of heavenliness and godliness and just took on the form of a servant. So his first time, he came to serve and to save. Second time he comes, it'll be to be served as the King of Kings. And so great servants, just want to give you some names here. Joseph, the Bible says he served Potiphar. He served his father. He served his prison mates. And later on, he served Pharaoh. He was a servant all throughout the scripture. Here's another one, Moses. There's the references. I'll quote it. So Moses, the servant of the Lord, died. And that's what God said about Moses. Moses didn't say, I'm God's servant. God looked at Moses and said, Moses, the servant of the Lord. Isn't that amazing? He was a servant. All these great people served. Joshua, the Bible says he was Moses' minister. Moses' minister. So every time Moses turned around, there was Joshua to serve him. He helped with the menial tasks. That's what he was. Then we see Samuel. As a little boy, it says, he ministered unto the Lord. And later, when God spoke to Samuel, he said, speak, Lord, thy servant heareth. So he began serving as a youth. Here's another one, Nehemiah. At the beginning of Nehemiah, chapter 1, it says, the servant, Nehemiah, the servant of the Lord. And so it's right there. All these great people, they were servants. Job, Satan looked at Job, and God says, he said, have you noticed my servant Job? And I love that. And he served all the way through the trial. He kept serving him. Chapter 42, verse 7, it says, Job, my servant. So he just kept serving. We can serve the Lord for a season, but greatness is serving him through the trials, serving him through the tough times. Just keep serving. And then we have David. David said as a lad, he said to the king, he says, thy servant will fight this Philistine. I love that. He said, thy servant keepeth the sheep. Just a servant. And then we have another one. His name is Elisha. There it is. That's number 8. It said he poured water on the hands of Elijah. By the way, usually the one in the shadows that's serving becomes the leader when the leader passes away. And that's how it was with Elisha. Then we see another one, Daniel. He was called the servant, the Lord's servant. Give you another one quickly here, Paul. And I want us to turn to 1 Corinthians for a moment here. Just a couple books over, 1 Corinthians chapter 9. And we'll give you something practical in just a second. Just hang on. 1 Corinthians chapter 9. You say, well, how does all this apply, Pastor? Well, it applies at work. If you're not the boss, you're the servant. You're serving the leader. You're serving the boss. You're serving your coworkers. If you're a part of a family unit, siblings ought to be serving each other. Husbands ought to be serving wives. Wives ought to be serving husbands. Somehow in society, we get the thought that the higher you go, the more people you get to tell what to do so you don't have to do anything. So we prop our feet up, just snap our fingers, bark at people so they can serve us. But God says the leader is the one that serves the most people. Some people would call that servant leadership. You never cease being the leader. But notice what Paul says about himself here. It says in 1 Corinthians 9, verse number 19, for though I be free from all men, in other words, he says, I'm not a bond slave, I'm not a slave, yet have I made myself servant unto all, that I may gain the more. In one area, that word servant is translated or refers to the under rowers. Some of you have seen the ancient movie, only the old timers, Ben-Hur. And I don't even know if we can call it Ben-Hur now. Maybe it's got to be Be-Him, Ben-Him, or maybe it's Ben-Neutral or something. But it used to be called Ben-Hur. And it showed this guy sold into slavery, and they chained him to the bottom of the ship, and they were called under rowers. And they would row the ship for battles or across the sea. They'd be chained, and they were there for days. They'd feed them, and they'd beat them. One of the soldiers looked at one and said, number 86, you exist to serve Rome. No names, just numbers. He beat him with a chain and row, row, row. You never saw the under rowers. Why? They were not important. They didn't have to be seen. They were there to move the ship. Here's what Paul said. I'm just an under rower for Jesus Christ. I don't have to be seen. I'm just trying to get the ship where it's supposed to go. I'm just an under rower. That's a great statement there. You say, Pastor, I'd like to put some people under a ship. Okay, that's not what it's talking about. And then let's look over in number 11. The last one we'll give you here is John. John or John Mark. It said he was Paul and Barnabas's minister. So he served them on the missionary journey. I don't know if he packed the ship. I don't know if he packed the lunches. I don't know if he laded the horses and loaded them up for the trip. He didn't do the preaching. He did all the work so Paul and Barnabas could do the preaching. You know, you think of these crusades where great evangelists like maybe Billy Sunday and D.L. Moody and Charles Spurgeon would preach out, many would be saved. Well, that didn't just happen. There were promoters. There were people that printed the bulletins. There were ushers that seated the people. There were people that cleaned the buildings. There were people that drove the carriage to get the speaker to the meeting. There were those that practiced with the choir to have special music. There was the organist and the piano. There was a lot of people behind the scenes, the under-rowers. Oft times in scriptures, servants are unnamed. It'll say a certain man, a certain woman. Most of the servants God used, he didn't even mention their name in scriptures. But God knows their name. And it'll all come out up there one day. Flip that page over for just a moment. Let's look at some character traits of great servants. And some of you Sunday school teachers ought to jot down these notes and bring this over to your class on Sundays. Or maybe just highlight a character trait of servants. Here we are. Number one, a right heart. A right heart. We see in Genesis 32, verse 4, Jacob is getting right with his brother Esau. And as he's coming, his brother Esau's got 400 men, and Jacob thinks he's going to be killed. Guess what Jacob says? Thy servant Jacob cometh to you. What's he saying? My heart is now right. I am your servant. It's an amazing thing. When people get right, they're okay serving others. They're okay serving others. The prodigal son, you remember? He comes home from the hog pen. I am no more worthy to be called thy son. Make me as one of thy hired servants. He said, I'm okay just being one of the servants around the house. I don't even have to be your son anymore because I've messed up so much. A servant. Number two, they cannot be slothful. Cannot be slothful. It was D.L. Moody had a great preacher's meeting up in Massachusetts. And he told the men of God that were there, the missionaries and the servants of God that were there at the conference, he said, if you need your shoes shined, just put them outside your room tonight. There are many rooms. And someone will take care of your shoes. They'll shine them. Dozens and dozens of men and missionaries and people put their shoes out there. Early in the morning, they saw Mr. Moody putting the shoes back. He had polished every pair of shoes himself. And he was the conference host. No wonder he was a great man. He was a servant. Number three, it goes beyond the call of duty. Luke 17:10 says, they are unworthy servants, unprofitable, because they have done only that which was their duty to do. Let me encourage you. You just get hired, go beyond the call of duty. You're supposed to punch in at 7, punch in at 10 till. You get off at 3, stay 10 minutes late. Go beyond the call of duty. Do the cleanup, do the extras, and you will climb the ladder. They will never let you go home. Number next. Here we are. Number four, watches the leader. And I want us to see this for a moment. And this would be kids toward their mom and dad. This would be wife toward her husband. This would be Christians toward our God. This would be employees toward their employer. Notice here in Psalm 123, these are all great, great doctrines. Psalms 123, I want you to see this in verse number 2. Psalms 123, if you're just joining us online, we're talking about who is the greatest Christian at Hopewell Baptist. It's the servant. Psalms 123, verse number 2. Here it is. Behold, as the eyes of servants look unto the hand of their masters, and as the eyes of a maiden unto the hand of her mistress, so our eyes wait upon the Lord our God until that he will have mercy. So what in the world does that mean? It means a follower is watching their leader. They don't have to be told what to do. You say, where are you coming from? Proverbs 29, I'll read it quick. The reference is there. You don't have to turn to it. But Proverbs 29, it's a great verse in verse number 19. And it says, a servant will not be corrected by words. What's that mean? He didn't have to be told, because he's watching what pleases his leader. You didn't have to tell him what to do, what the leader liked or didn't like. He already saw it. I was at a conference years ago. I was at Brother Treber's, and someone sang a song, and he leaned over, and, you know, sometimes you wonder what these guys are saying amongst each other. They're usually criticizing. And he kind of leaned over. He said, you didn't like that song, did you? I said, it was a great song. He said, well, you didn't like it, did you? He said, I watched you. I'm sorry, I'll act happy next time. They say that the Queen of England has certain signals. When she's in a group, she's got her servants and her security watching her. Someone walks up, oh, Queen, I've got a request. And all of a sudden, the security says, she's got an appointment. She's got to go. And they herd her out of the way. They watch how she picks up her purse. There's these little signals between her and her servants. How she holds the purse or grabs the purse means, I'm out of here. Get this person away from me. The servants know. If we're married very long, we ought to know what pleases or displeases or agitates our mate. Kids ought to know what makes their parents happy and what displeases them. We as Christians ought to know by just watching this book what pleases them. We ought not even have to be told. Just a thought. And then we see a little further here. They watch the leader. Number next, a servant is humble. It's humble. It says not striving. Or with humility, not striving, not arguing, humble. And then we see in Luke 10:40, it refers to Martha, not cumbered. Not cumbered. We're not talking about cucumbered. We're not talking about cucumbers, but cumbered. So Martha is working. Jesus is eating at her house, and she says, are you going to have Mary come and help me? Look, she's just sitting at your feet, and no one's helping me. And she's banging dishes and slamming cabinets. She was all overloaded, and everyone knew it. So God's saying, as servants, what not act overload. Everyone's got a burden to carry. Their job is not to carry ours. We're to ask for grace and speak to whoever is over us, maybe to get some help, maybe cut some things, but not be cumbered. His burden is light. And then number 7, quickly, they're glad. Serve the Lord with gladness. Come before his presence with singing. Servants ought to be glad. Boss tells them to do something, they ought not be mad, but glad. Oh, we'll get that done. I'm sure there's a way. Some gladness. The Bible says, well done, enter thou into the presence of the Lord, joy of the Lord. So joyful as well, glad and joyful. Here's another one. Number 8, a good servant completes tasks. Gets the job done. Someone says, well, I didn't know how to do this. Well, there's a way. Brother Rule years ago asked, he had just become the pastor. He asked his secretary, said, can you get so-and-so on the phone for me? A few minutes later, he said, did you get him on the phone? Well, I don't have his number. He said, okay, let me take about 30 minutes and tell you how to get someone's phone number. Someone has their number. So here's how you find a phone number. And so there's always a way. Jesus said, I am the way, the truth, and the life. Completes task. Well done, thou good and faithful servant. Number 9, a real servant loves. The Bible says, by love, serve one another. Serving because we love each other. Number 10, fervent in spirit. Has a good attitude. Good attitude. I think I told you or told the class recently, our adult class, I got on a plane oh, maybe 6 months ago, and the stewardess was the best I've ever seen. She was just the best. She was the first one on. I was one of the first one on. They said, anyone with physical difficulties, line up. I lined up. They said, so? I said, I had knee surgery. I didn't say when, you know, like 7 years ago, but I had knee surgery one time. And so I was one of the first ones on, and I sat down and watched. She goes, my, you look nice. Oh, I like the shoes. Oh, what a beautiful baby. Oh, I love your hair. She had a comment for every person. I looked at her. I said, if you live anywhere near Napa, join our church. We'd love to add you to the greeters ministry. What a greeter. She put a smile on everyone's face. She was fervent in spirit. I love that. What else? Quickly, obeys. And there's a reference there, obeys. Number 12, not with eye service. Okay, let's find out who has ever worked a job and when the boss or the supervisor left, all the mice began playing and they all stopped working. Anyone ever been at a job like that? And when the supervisor or the boss walked back, they all got busy. That's called eye service. So as a servant, we're not to serve just because someone's watching, because he's always watching. What else? Number next, but with heart and respect. We have that. Number 13, faithful. Faith always there. Number 14, pay attention. It says, blessed are the servants who the Lord shall find watching. They're watching for him to come. And then quickly, they know their place, the servant. John Rice, the evangelist, anytime he was speaking at a conference, if they were going to lunch and the pastor picked up him and the other speaker, said, all right, man, I'm taking you to lunch. He'd always grab that back door for the back seat and jump in the back seat of the car. Why? Giving preference to the other speaker, you got the front seat. I got the back seat. I'm fine. What was he doing? He was serving in honor, preferring one another. Here's the conclusion. Let's give you this quickly. Followers rebel when the leader does not know how to serve. Look over here, please, in 1 Kings chapter 12. 1 Kings chapter 12. So we have the change of leadership in Israel, and Rehoboam ends up getting the kingdom from his father. He has a meeting with his peers and a meeting with the wise older men. His younger peers said, up the taxes and treat them harshly. But notice what it says, 1 Kings 12 and verse number 7. And they spake unto him, saying, if thou will be a servant unto this people this day, and will serve them and answer them and speak good words to them, then they will be thy servants forever. Well, you know the story. He didn't. He was harsh. He wouldn't listen to the people of the nation. They rebelled. The whole kingdom split. What's that mean? As we are leaders over anyone, they resent it if we don't have a servant spirit and try to help serve them as well. Quickly, serving comes before leading. Moses served before he became the leader. Joshua, Elisha, Samuel, David, many people did. Number 3, serving is the work of the ministry. All throughout the book of Acts, it says, and they went to the work of the ministry. It's work, serving people. And that's what it is. Is that not what the nursery workers are doing behind the scenes? Serving. Those that clean the building. Those that do the landscaping. It's not a whole crowd here to cheer for them as they do it. It's behind the scenes. Why? Serving heartily as to the Lord. Staff doing different projects that no one ever sees. Flower beds here and bus mechanics. Just so many things. And it's part of the Christian life. Here we are at number 4. If we are too big to do the little things, we're probably too little to do the big things. You remember David as a young shepherd boy? He said, I killed a lion while I was watching the sheep. I killed a bear while I was watching the sheep. He did the things he was supposed to do behind the scenes, and later he got a public opportunity. Number five, there are no little things in God's servant. Well, so-and-so gets to preach. That's the big thing. No, every job is the big thing. Every job's the big thing. Well, the quarterback got to throw the touchdown pass, but the right guard blocked somebody so he had time to throw the pass. And the guy on the sideline called the coach. He sent in the play. They all had a part. And the trainer who trained and got the quarterback back in shape after surgery, he had a part in that. They all had a part. There are no little things in God's service. Number six, when you serve people, you are serving God. Inasmuch as you've done it to the least of these, my brethren, you've done it unto me. You visited me in prison. They said, when did we see you in prison? When you visited them, you were visiting me. You gave a cup of cold water to a child, so you gave it to me. Every soul-winning visit, every tract, every grocery delivered, every encouraging text, anything we do for others, God says, I'm taking it just like you're doing it for me. Number seven, a leader is simply one that serves more people. That's the leader. The follower may serve fewer. The leader serves more people. Number eight, when you minister, you soon have a ministry. Man, I wish I had a ministry. You do if you serve. Number nine, serving is not in vain. Malachi 3:14 says, they say it is vain to serve the Lord. It's never vain to serve the Lord. And then, once you see one last verse, we're out early. Look at this. In Revelation chapter 22, you ready for this? Revelation 22, here we go. And looking down into verse number 3. Someone says, what are we going to do for all eternity in heaven? We're going to be bowing down? Or are we going to be singing? Is it going to be like an eternal Sunday school? No. Guess what we're going to do? You ready? Man, I just hope we're in a hammock for all eternity. I'm so tired. I just want to jump into the sea of life and swim through a sea of coffee with my mouth open. I want to eat that fruit, 12 manner of fruit, the chocolate fruit, the dark chocolate fruit, and the white chocolate fruit. That's not what we're going to do forever. But Revelation 22, verse 3, and there shall be no more curse, but the throne of God and of the Lamb shall be in it, and his servants shall serve him. What's that mean? Forever. We'll be busy doing something for him. Whether it'll be the cement men that just love cement, they'll be backing up those gold cement trucks. All right, pour a new sidewalk here. We got a new subdivision going in, all right? And they're troweling that gold. Or it's going to be the contractor saying, all right, we need to add a ninth floor to that mansion of his. He's working so hard. God says, make it bigger. We'll be serving. Maybe some ladies will be decorating. Oh, I know they love this decor. Now, here's angels, come here. Now, here's what we need to do. We're going to be busy doing some things we enjoy. Some of you are wired toward landscaping. Some of you love animals. Some of you love carpentry. Some of you love administration. Some of you love music. And these gifts God has given you, guess what? When you get to heaven, you're still going to like that. Because if you don't, then you're not you. Can you imagine? I hate music. You get to heaven, you're the choir director for all of heaven. Come on. I hate this job. It's not going to happen. And some people that love security and police work, they're going to have to alter that a little bit. We'll be safe. But maybe for some Baptists, you'll still need to be on duty. Just keep your eye on them. I don't know. They'll be digging up the streets of gold and hiding it or something. His servants shall serve him. The happy people in this church and in life and at home are those who serve. You'll see it. Some people, it comes natural to them. That's where they get their joy. They just love to serve and lighten others' loads. Others of us, it doesn't come natural, but it's right to do, and the joy will come. So if you're a servant, I could call your name out tonight and just say, you're the greatest Christian in our church.